Hello and welcome to the latest edition of Football Talk from the Yorkshire Post, where we'll be discussing some of the latest talking points from the world of football with members of our football writing team. On this week's episode, we're joined by Chief Football Writer for the Yorkshire Post, Stuart Rayner, and Football Writer for the Yorkshire Post, Bill Mopshall, to discuss all of the latest developments affecting our local clubs. Don't forget you can keep up to date with all the football news across Yorkshire and beyond by logging on to our website at yp.sport@nationalworld.com, as well as checking out our various Twitter feeds, the main one being at YP Sport. If you search for Yorkshire Post Sport, Yorkshire Post Football, or even Sheffield Sport on Facebook, you can find us there as well. And if you have any questions for our writers, you can get in touch using those various Twitter or Facebook pages, or email us directly with the subject matter as Football Talk Podcast at yp.sport@nationalworld.com.
yorkshirepost.co.uk.
As mentioned earlier in the intro, this week we're joined by Chief Football Writer for the Yorkshire Post, Stuart Rayner, and Football Writer for the Yorkshire Post, Leon Wobshaw. Good morning, guys.
Morning. Hello.
Morning.
Right, this week saw the return of league action and Hull City fell to a 2-0 defeat when they welcomed Stoke City, which was followed by a 3-1 defeat when they faced Leeds United. Rotherham United fell to a 3-0 defeat against Preston North End before being able to stave off relegation by beating Millwall 2-1. Middlesbrough shared the points in their 1-1 draw with Southampton and we'll cover them later on in the podcast. Leeds United claimed a late point in their 2-2 draw with Watford before reclaiming second place with that 3-1 win, as mentioned earlier. And in League One, Barnsley fell to a 2-0 defeat when they faced Cambridge United. In League Two, Harrogate Town played out a 1-1 draw with AFC Wimbledon before claiming an emphatic 5-1 victory over Gillingham. And Bradford City claimed a useful 3 points in their 2-0 win over Tranmere Rovers, as well as Doncaster Rovers walking away with all 3 points in their 2-0 victory over Crawley Town. And we'll also be covering them later on in the podcast this week as well. But let's start this week in the Premier League with Sheffield United, who seemed to agonisingly let 3 vital points slip through their hands in their 3-all draw with Fulham. Now, what do the Blades take from this result and how do they go into their upcoming game against Liverpool, Stuart?
Well, I was very critical and a lot of people were very critical about their performance against Arsenal and about a lot of their home performances recently. So, as we've said numerous times on this podcast over the last few weeks about them and Rotherham in particular, it was important they just showed some fight. And they really did in that game. You know, they were under the pump at times. You know, they conceded a goal quickly after taking the lead, and immediately at that point you worry about you know, whether a team's going to cave in, frankly, after their recent home form. But they really stuck in the game. They scored 3. They had a 4th disallowed for a tight VAR call. I think for where Sheffield United are, it was quite an encouraging performance. I mean, all 3 goals conceded, if you look at them from a Fulham perspective, they were all great goals. If you look at, as is often the way, if you look at them from a Sheffield United perspective, they were all a bit poor in terms of the space they left them. And the 4th goal Tom Kearney ought to have scored in the 16th added minute would have fallen into that category as well. But apart from those, whatever it was, you know, 20 seconds, the other 106 and a half minutes of defending, there was a lot of really good stuff in there, you know, really throwing their bodies in the way, really getting stuck in. And I think it was the sort of performance Bramall Lane needed to see as much as anything else. So they can take some comfort from that. You know, if ultimately, if they're just not quite good enough, you can work on it, but there's limits to what you can do about that. But you have to look after that character, that pride, that professionalism, and we saw that. So they can go to Liverpool in good heart in that respect. Obviously, you know, if they keep making those tiny defensive errors at Anfield, that's one of the worst places to make it. You know, it could be very costly indeed. But if we see more of that spirit, we shouldn't see a repeat of the Arsenal game, for example, where they made it too easy for a much better team. So long as they continue to make it difficult for other teams, I think that's the main thing for them. So I think it was a lot more positive than negative for them on Saturday.
Yeah, I mean, I think if you're looking at it realistically and sensibly, it's going to take something remarkable and miraculous to keep them up, really, isn't it? And you know, if they can, you know, Stuart's right to say, you know, seeing an in-character Bramall Lane, you know, with the fans all behind them having something to buy into, you know, it's something we haven't seen enough of this season. We've both seen it in better times, and yeah, that was a step in the right direction in that regard on Saturday, you know, especially after some of the pumpings that they've had, you know, the Brightons, the Arsenals, and, you know, God knows who else, really, Aston Villas and Newcastle, you name it. I felt them a little bit. I only watched the highlights. Stuart was there. I thought it was very, very tight to make it 4-1, so I felt for them in that regard. You know, it tends to be when you're down there, you don't get those little pockets of luck that maybe you do if you're up there and fighting for something. But you know, you look at some of the games that they've got left at home. They've got Chelsea, Nottingham Forest, games that hopefully are Burnley, games that they can hopefully can replicate that type of attacking performance against Fulham. But as Stuart said, just try and be a little bit stronger and on message defensively. Well, that's really been the problem this season, hasn't it? That defensive aspect, we spoke about it before at length on the podcast, and you know, they had so much to do at the end of the summer window. It just wasn't addressing this one. It's one of the big reasons that's what they're going to pay for. You just hope for their sake that they don't suffer any more sort of huge beatings, because they've had a hell of a lot of punishment this year, haven't they? You know, they just outlined a few of the games, you know, the Arsenals, the Newcastles, and and the supporters of you know, they've followed the club through thick and thin, and they've had the humiliation in that regard, and players have took a lot of punishment. But you know, Stuart said that, you know, they've got to go to Liverpool. You've just got to be so on point with your organisation, your distances, your discipline, you name it, because if you're just out of kilter slightly, a side as strong as Liverpool will just expose you, you know, time after time and ruthlessly. But yeah, I think there was more to, in terms of the Fulham game, there was more to be certainly infused about, given what's gone before.
And I think, you know, Leon mentions there the home games to come. I think there's opportunities there. If they can just get, you know, one win to really, you know, sit in the memory over the summer. You know, we've seen, people know Chelsea have been vulnerable this season. You know, we saw Middlesbrough beat them in the League Cup at the Riverside. If you catch them on the right day, and as Leon says, if you're on point, that's quite possible. You know, Burnley and nothing to fear, obviously. No. Nottingham Forest will be under their own pressures. And, you know, even when Tottenham are there on the final day of the season, if Tottenham have already secured European football or what have you, you know, I remember a time a couple of years ago when they went to a Newcastle team that had been relegated in those circumstances, yeah. I think, on the last day of the season and lost 5-1. You know, if Sheffield United can just produce a performance from one of those games, and, you know, we saw what Ben Brereton Diaz is capable of on his day. Not that we didn't know already from his time as at Blackburn. You know, if Ollie McBurney has a good day, if Vinny Souza has a good day, people like this, they've got it within them, and it would just be nice after such a miserable time since Christmas if they can just sign off with something, you know, positive. You know, in the way, I know we're not going to talk about them later, but in the way Rotherham did by beating Millwall, if they could just produce a moment like that, I think that would mean a lot, and that would just give them something to build on next season.
I think that's all the fans are after, Stuart. I think the overwhelming majority there, they know the score, they've been here before. They're just wanting, you know, some pride in performances, hopefully one or two results, you know, a spirit and 100% from those in a Sheffield United jersey. And, you know, it's not really too much to ask, is it?
No, and I think that's how most of them will judge the game at Anfield, because as Leon said, you know, you're up against such a good team, there's every chance that Sheffield United could play really well and lose. So you've kind of got to judge it more on those qualities that Leon was talking about. And I think most realistic fans will.
And next we turn to Huddersfield Town, who fell to a 3-1 defeat against Coventry City before sharing the point in their 1-1 draw with Stoke City. This now sees the Terriers just 1 point from safety, and it is just so incredibly tight at the foot of the table. With two relegation places still to be decided, how do you see Andre Brighton Wright's side going into their game against Millwall, Leon?
Huge, huge football match, isn't it? Absolutely. I mean, Stuart went to the... I did the home game against Coventry on Friday. Stuart did the Stoke game. And, yeah, I mean, the Stoke game was, in the greater scheme of things, even though they're all big at the minute, that was a huge football match. Huddersfield got a point, which they proved sort of, unfortunately, specialist at that this season. It will look a decent point only if they beat Millwall on Saturday. It's as simple as that. You know, you look at aspects of Huddersfield over Easter. I suppose the tick in the box is that Healy scored his first goal for the club. Adelovic scored as well, and I read Stuart's report. You could see how much it meant to them. Obviously, if Huddersfield are going to get out of this situation, they're going to need some of the January signings to put their hands up, and more especially those two. But yeah, I think it's just getting to the crunch now, isn't it? We'll probably speak a bit more about the overall situation later. You know, Huddersfield have won 8 games this season, you know, and we're into April now. And you know, for a side that were fighting for the lives, it's not enough, is it? It's as simple as that. What, 8 points is 24 points. Is 24 points, and you add on, you know, they've had a hell of a lot of draws, 16. But you know, it is why they are where they are. I mean, it's you know, I just think, I don't know what Stuart thinks. I look at this weekend, and there's obviously 5 or 6 games left. This looks a huge one, doesn't it? And obviously, we've gone to Sheffield Wednesday. They've got QPR away. Huddersfield against Millwall. It's a good game on paper for Huddersfield, but you know, the way that Millwall and QPR will look at it, they'll think of it. If we can win either of these games, that's us. You know, we've got a nice buffer there, and we're almost out of it. So, 2 huge games. I think I did the game on Friday. It's fair to say Coventry are, I'm not being disrespectful, but they're a few levels above Huddersfield at the minute. They had their own issues. They obviously had a lot of players on international duty in the CONCACAF. You know, they had the big emotional high in the cup against Wolves. So, they weren't at full pelt, but they still had moments of enough quality where they were to comfortably better Huddersfield. There was a little bit of a go towards the end from Town. He made some good substitutions, Brighton Wrighter. He brought on Jones. He brought on Ben Wiles and Healy as well. So there's something there. A point would have been great, but Coventry always had the class for me. And I don't know what Stuart thinks. I don't think there's anything wrong with Huddersfield's, with the spirit. They're all putting in a ship. They're all trying the hardest. There's a fair amount of organisation, but it's just, I sort of watch them, and it's just decision making when they're getting good areas, picking out their opponent, having that care. The quick thinking, some of the sort of close control. I watched Coventry, and they were just far slicker and just far better. There's nothing wrong with Huddersfield's application, but it's just that ruthlessness and thought. And you know, I'm just hoping, amongst hope, they can somehow sort that out and find a way to chisel out victories. I don't see them hammering teams or anything like that. I think it'll be a slog to get the points, but you know, this Millwall game, I think it's a huge one, and it's, you know, it's really telling. Obviously, Millwall went to Rotherham and got beaten, so you know, they're not among the best sides, and they're not out of relegation trouble just yet. Huge football match for Town on Saturday.
I think one thing that stood out for me, and when you don't see a team in every game, sometimes you can read too much into one specific one, but that was the third time in the last 6 games that Huddersfield have been winning at half time and not won the game. When Leon mentioned substitutes there, obviously it's been a big issue, a big talking point at Huddersfield since the Rotherham game, really, hasn't it? Yeah. But yeah, there are quite a few players. I asked Brighton Wrighter about it after the game, and they managed the first half really well, took a 1-0 lead, and they just didn't seem to have anything left in the tank in the second half. You know, Stoke played well and put them under a lot of pressure, but Brody Spencer and Matty Pearson in particular defended well, but they didn't really seem to have much to throw back at them. And I say, I asked Brighton Reiter about it afterwards, and he was adamant that, you know, he does have the players to play the way he wants to play, because there's been a lot of talk about, you know, energy and high intensity. But he did say that a lot of players, including Radulovic, don't have 90 minutes in their legs at the moment because of the injury problems they've had earlier in the season, or in some cases earlier in their career. So he was saying, you know, it's really important that if you start, you give me 60 minutes or 45 minutes or whatever it is you've got. And then, you know, then that the man that replaces you has got the other 30 in the tank or whatever. So I think clever use of substitutes is going to be really important. And in fairness to Huddersfield, they did have a few chances at the back end of those of the game. But, you know, most football matches, the last 5 minutes can be a little bit deceptive, because it's just kitchen sink time from the team that's chasing a victory. And that's essentially what happened with Huddersfield. You know, Bergsorg didn't really have the composure, the quality, the decision making, the things that Leon's talking about, you know, to make the most of those little opportunities they had. But yeah, that's my worry from Huddersfield. Leon's already mentioned the draws, too many draws, and too many games that they just haven't been able to see out. And you suspect, if you're a team playing against Huddersfield, or if you're a manager playing against Huddersfield, your message to your players will be about, be patient. Don't fret too much if we're, you know, a couple of goals down after an hour, because over the piece, you know, we can get back into this. So it's something Huddersfield need to address as best they can. It's obviously difficult to do in the middle of the season when you're talking about fitness, but perhaps some of it ultimately will come between the ears. And it's just a case of, you know, some of that, because we know Huddersfield have got some real proper professionals in that team, and sometimes it's just about giving that little bit extra when there isn't really anything left in the tank, just because you're desperate to get 3 points or even 1 point for Huddersfield Town.
It's just been that consistency to the attacking play, hasn't it? And that's where they've had so many draws, really. You know, you just hope that, you know, they can hopefully have another option in Danny Ward, you know, sooner rather, like, whether it's to bring on. He's obviously been out with a back ailment, but even if he can just, like Stuart says, just if he can give half an hour or a half just to chip in, because you know, they need some help. You know, another thing on Friday I noticed against Coventry, I mean, it's probably sounds a bit like picking on Bergsorg weekend, because I know he had a big opportunity to set up a winner on Monday at Stoke, Stuart, wasn't it? But the amount of times he was offside on Friday, just inexcusable. You know, just paying attention, looking across the line, and it must have been a good half a dozen times. You know, just real sloppiness that, you know, at this stage of the season, you just can't be having things like that. And, you know, you look at Huddersfield's numbers, and, you know, Mikkel Helic, the top scorer with, was it 9 goals? And I think last season, wasn't it about this? I think Matty Pearson
the choice. Matty Pearson was the man then.
Yeah. Suddenly he scored 5 or 6, didn't he? So,
yeah.
You know, there it lies a bit of a story. But look, on the positive side, if there is one, it's a decent enough game on paper, Millwall at home, isn't it? But it's a no excuses game, and I think with the mood music amongst the Huddersfield fans, if they don't manage to win that, there's going to be a huge amount of pessimism and negativity to get over, and something else for the players and staff to contend with. Brighton Reiter, you know, he's been almost getting out the prayer mat, really, to sort of say to supporters, look, please back us, we need you behind us. And you know, a side who haven't really got massive individual stars in Huddersfield, they're gonna need everyone, aren't they? Everyone to make a contribution, whether it's whoever on the bench, whoever starts the game, whoever comes on, and those in the stand. But I do fear that if they don't manage to beat Millwall, let's hope they do, that you know, it's gonna there's gonna be so much and doubt, and you know, elements social media. We know what that's all about these days. Saying, "Well, that's it, we're down," that sort of thing, and that's going to be a huge thing to contend with if they don't manage to win.
I think the thing is, you know, say we've been quite negative about them, and with just cause. But the fact of the matter is, they've been doing just about enough to stay in things. You know, we've got six games left. Yeah. There's only a point in it. It's there for
you. Not just
Huddersfield and Sheffield Wednesday we're about to talk about, but for Plymouth and everyone else, it's alive, and that's the main thing. So that, as Leon says, you know, that little extra push from the supporters, that could tip the balance, that really could.
Yeah. And next on the list is Sheffield Wednesday, who saw the point shared in their 1-1 draw with Swansea City, which was then followed by their 2-0 defeat to Middlesbrough. This now sees the Owls just 2 points off safety, with a trip to Queen's Park Rangers next on the cards for them. What did you make of the recent run of form? And looking to Middlesbrough, how useful will those 3 points be for them, Leon?
Yeah, it was desperately disappointing from a Sheffield Wednesday perspective. I don't know what Stuart thinks. I thought it was a decent enough game on paper. I know that Borough have picked it up a little bit, but the home form's been a real millstone this season. Yeah, they've beaten Leicester, haven't they? They've beaten West Brom and Norwich. But you look at some of the sides they've lost against. I think before the game against Wednesday, the only team they'd beaten in the bottom half was Birmingham. They'd lost to Plymouth. We'll go on to speak about Plymouth, I'm sure, in a short while. And their form has just gone off a cliff, hasn't it? But they, you know, their last win was at Middlesbrough, but they've lost a few others. QPR have beaten them, Millwall have beaten them, Stoke have beaten them. They got 10 players out on Monday. You know, Sheffield, it was a good opportunity. If Sheffield Wednesday were tuned in and the sort of showcased the best elements of a Danny Roll side, I think they would have had a good chance. But it was just so disheartening from this perspective. They started off okay, then they conceded a sort of poor goal towards half time, and I think that's another thing with Wednesday, isn't it? Whether it's Roll or before that, they've conceded some really sloppy goals, haven't they? From set plays and just switching off and decision making, and they just never seem to recover from that. And half time came at a good time, really, for them to regroup. But you know, the second half, it just looked to me as a team of individuals doing their own thing. They weren't putting enough, plain speaking, enough running. Really, they just sort of they just clocked off mentally. I thought, and they'd obviously been had the beating at Ipswich, you know, last time out on the road, and yeah, just so disappointing. And you look at Sheffield Wednesday, you're 23. They've done a lot of good things under Danny Rowland to get in that position to have a fighting chance. They'd have probably taken this, wouldn't they, back in mid to late autumn. But you know, 23 defeats, you know, that's horrendous. Don't get me wrong, they've had quite a few bonus ball victories, but you know, therein lies a story. And you know, you look at the season now, they've got QPR, they've got Blackburn and was it Stoke as well coming up. So you know, it's a huge weekend and a huge spell in the season. You just hope that both Huddersfield and Wednesday can get a couple of positive results in the next week or so, or else you fear, you know, we spoke up this survival race, haven't we, all these teams being in it, this, that and the other. But if they're not careful, it could peter out. But yeah, the hope is that Wednesday before, I did the Huddersfield game a few months ago, and you know, they imploded in that game for 20 minutes, and you wondered, oh well, how they're going to pick themselves up from this, and they managed to do it, but they're going to have to do it again. I mean, Danny Rom, myself and Stuart have seen him at close quarters. He's a good guy and a very talented coach, and he does keep positive and he protects his players. But he was absolutely furious on Monday, and you know, he could see it in his face. He did a radio interview, he did TV, and then he came into the written press, and it was everything that he doesn't like, as he suspects as a coach. You know, there was no sort of discipline without the ball, there was no intensity, you know, heads dropped, and you know, it wasn't a Danny Roll side. You know, he's called the players out. He said, look, I've protected them since I've been here, but I can't defend that. And he was right to as well. You know, he was right to throw down the gauntlet to them. But yeah, let's see what they're about in the game at QPR. QPR have done pretty well recently, but the home form isn't great, is it? So, you know, hopefully the players take that on the chin and just find something from somewhere. They'll certainly get it from the stands. You know, the Wednesday supporters were absolutely brilliant in the second half. We're 2-0 down, they just sang even louder, really got behind them. And yeah, they deserve something after what happened on Monday for sure.
Yeah, I remember saying in January, so it's not irretrievable, that similar sort of thing, but no. It feels like they've run out of a bit of momentum. In their defence, obviously, they've gone four games without a win now. Those first two games were Leeds and Ipswich, which weren't games you'd budget for wins in, but they just feel like they've run out of a bit of steam. And I just think when you look at it, you look at Barnsley when they had the opportunity to go into the automatic playoff places, automatic promotion place in League One. You look at Harrogate when they were on the verge of the League Two playoff places. I think I'm right in saying that in all of those four games, Sheffield Wednesday could have got out of the relegation zone for the first time since the relegation zone was relevant. You know, and it just feels like they've been able to get up to that point, but just making that next step, it's just an extra psychological hurdle, as we've seen with those clubs as well. And whether that's a factor or not, I don't know. I mean, I saw them against Swansea and, you know, they were in control of the game for a lot of the time, in the sense that Swansea had loads of possession. I think they had 73% of the ball in the first half. On Wednesday, had seven times more shots than them. They were sort of, the way managers talk about it, controlling the game without having the ball, but they didn't have that little bit of extra oomph. And as I say, the Leeds and the Ipswich games, you could sort of budget for that, accept that. But in these two most recent games, as Leon says, Middlesbrough were really there for the taking with the, you know, the way their season's going, the injuries they're having, blah, 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 blah. You know, similar with Swansea. They just don't feel yet as though they've been able to take that extra step. And those, you know, those quotes Leon was talking about, they really leapt off the page when I read them. To see, it's the first time I can think of, I could be wrong here because my memory's not the best, where Danny Rowe's really gone for them like that. And hopefully, you know, that 6-0 defeat at Ipswich didn't seem to have the same effect as that Huddersfield defeat did. Hopefully, these comments and what's said in training this week can just spur them on, because they just feel like they need just an extra kick now to really push on. And as I say, they can do it, because if you look at the season under Rowe, there's been ebbs and flows. They've not been terminal when they've had these poor periods, but they just need to find something extra in themselves. And as Leon says, there's some huge games coming up in terms of if they can find it. There's some real opportunities. If they don't, there's real trouble.
They've got to find something from within, Stuart, haven't they? Yeah. You know, they can't, you know, not feeling sorry for this. I mean, look at the supporters. God, they've been through the mill this season. There's all sorts of things, you know, behind the scenes. But they've said that admirably, they've part that, and they've bought into what Danny Rowe has shown. And it won't take much. They just want something to buy into, don't they, really? And, you know, if they turn that round at QPR, for instance. But the players, you know, there's no excuses here. They've been coached well from Danny Rowe. The staff are together. The training grounds, you know, it's been a decent vibe, and that's not always been there. Certainly wasn't the case under Rom's predecessor, was it? So they've just got to summon up something from within, and there's enough going on around them and other clubs who were having issues as well. You know, it's they're still in the game, but yeah, it looks a huge game at QPR. But judging by the performance on Monday, it'd be difficult to know what side he actually will pick. Because he's got a fair few issues there, and there were a lot of players that was the worrying thing to me. They were just doing their own thing, and they were just, some of them were tracking back, some of them weren't, some of them were leaving markers. You know, basic things in a football match. You know, if it's not going well for you, which it wasn't for Wednesday, at least just give everything and empty the tank, and there just wasn't enough of that for me on the day. And a good thing in some respects, it could have been, it probably should have been really a 3-4 nil. You know, Middlesbrough missed a penalty. They lacked a bit of ruthlessness in front of goal, which has probably been, you know, speaking about middles, but that's been a big thing in their season. But you know, it could easily have been a really heavy defeat for Wednesday. Thankfully, it wasn't in that regard. I think Middles were just having a bit of fun, aren't they? I mean, you sort of think back, well, a month or so ago, and they got beaten by, I mentioned the Plymouth game, they lost that. They followed up and lost to Stoke, and you know, they really were starting to look over the shoulders, weren't they, thinking, oof, you know, we might get dragged in here if we're not careful. And it's been that sort of season, isn't it? The start, they didn't win for the first seven or eight games. Then they went on a really golden patch. And they've been a bit like that, haven't they, this season? They've had, you know, these real rough trots, and then they picked up and they've sort of lost away again. I think injuries have been a pretty common theme as well, and it's probably one of the narratives of the season. But yeah, at least they're finishing the season nicely. I don't really buy into this sort of playoff talk, this, that and the other. They've just got to take it game by game. And you know, you look at some of the games they've got left. They've got to go to Ipswich, they've got to play Leeds at home, they've got to go to Hull. But I suppose on the other side of the coin, you know, the way that they're playing, they could potentially be a dangerous opponent for one or two of these, because you know, they seem to have got the mojo back at least. And I think probably the encouraging thing mainly is the fact that they're starting to look a little bit stronger defensively, which is a bit perverse in the respect that they've got so many defenders injured. And they had, you know, Johnny Howson's playing at centre half for the last two games, and you know, he was strolling around like Baresi on Monday, which is probably more, it probably says more about Sheffield Wednesday than it does about Johnny, even though he's a good pro. But I think they've only conceded one goal in five. So, given some of their problems defensively, that's you know, that's encouraging. But you know, they've just got to carry on, haven't they? Have a bit of fun, try and get some positivity to finish what's been a, you know, it's been a difficult season in some respects, hasn't it? But I still think they've a fair bit to look forward to, and they didn't go mad in the January market, did they? So you think they might have a little bit up the jumper to maybe spend in the summer. But yeah, they were decent on Monday, but it was difficult to really judge it because Wednesday was so lousy.
Yeah, I mean, for Middlesbrough, particularly for Michael Carrick, this has just got to go down as a learning season, hasn't it?
I think
for Sheffield Wednesday, I think, you know, the core of that squad have shown, you know, you back them into a corner and they're capable of fighting their way out of it. But you can't constantly take it to the brink, because sooner or later your luck's going to run out. You can't just build up the drama and leave it for the last day. They've got to start looking after themselves. It's as simple as that.
Yeah. And now I wanted to ask you both, how do you see this season's relegation fight in the Championship shaping up, seeing as we're now past the Easter fixtures at the moment, Stuart?
Well, I think every time you think, oh, that team's done for, that team's showing a bit of fight, it all goes out the window, doesn't it? You know, suddenly Birmingham will magic a win from somewhere, or Sheffield Wednesday's winning run will come to an end, and it's so topsy turvy. And of course, the twist this week has been Plymouth sacking Ian Foster. And you know, I know that Leon and I both agree it feels like a massive missed opportunity for them not to get Neil Warnock in. Because as soon as you've got Neil Warnock in the manager's office, your chances of staying up improved dramatically. So it'll be interesting to see how the director of football takes things, whether we do see a new manager bounce or not. It's not always a given, you know, because Plymouth have been really, really dragged back into it by their poor away form. You know, I mean, from a Yorkshire perspective, we're really hoping that Rotherham can delay the inevitable again and do everyone else a favour by beating them on Friday night. I mean, maybe there's a bit of freedom about Rotherham now. You often see it when a team, normally it's after relegation's been mathematically confirmed, but you know, they'll suddenly start to chuck in a couple of wins. So yeah, fingers crossed that they can do that, but it's just so hard to tell. I mean, you know, Leon's just sort of outlined how unpredictable and logic defying, you know, Middlesbrough are at the moment, for example.
Teams like that, isn't
there? There's far too many teams like that for anybody to be making any solid predictions when it's so tight. And, you know, a couple of weeks ago, well, probably more recently than that, you know, it looked like Millwall might have fought their way out of it. You know, now they're only 4 points away from Huddersfield. So, you know, if Huddersfield win that game, well, you know, they're right back in it as well. I mean, you know, the pessimist in me is starting to worry that it's going to be a Yorkshire hat-trick in that relegation zone. Because, as I say, there's been a few missed opportunities for Wednesday and Huddersfield to get out of it. But as I said earlier, there's only 1 point in it. It really doesn't take much to turn it around, and hopefully they can find something.
Yeah, there's a few little subplots, isn't there? I mean, obviously, Plymouth go to Rotherham. Mm. Rotherham are putting, you know, let's face it, they're relegated. Rotherham have got to play Birmingham as well, haven't they, at home before the end of the season. Huddersfield have got to play Birmingham. If Hull do manage to sort of get back on track their last games at Plymouth, you know, in the respect of Huddersfield, spoken about them, desperately need to win. But, you know, the big bonus of that is they win and they drag Millwall back into it, don't they?
Yeah.
You know, Millwall, you know, if they can manage to do that, Millwall will just think, well, we've lost at Rotherham and we've lost at Huddersfield. So there is a bit to go in that regard. Yeah, I tweeted something on Tuesday morning. I think if, you know, Huddersfield supporters and Sheffield Wednesday, you know, understandably feeling a bit low as they went back to work and this and that, the stick they're going to get. But, you know, the fact that Neil Warnock hasn't ended up at Plymouth, I think's, you know, it's one positive that they can look at. I think Warnock would have chiselled out enough there to get a couple of wins from somewhere. I think, you know, Stuart's right to mention they're away for, but look at Plymouth's home form as well recently. Now, that was their sort of big strength for, you know, the opening half of the season. But that's gone on off the cliff, and I think it seems to be the big reason why they've got rid of Foster. I think they've lost the last five and they haven't scored a goal. So, you know, that's always been a bit of a comfort blanket for them, that they've sort of lost and they've not. I think they've only won a couple away, haven't they? Middlesbrough and perhaps somewhere else. So, yeah, they're in. As much as we're talking about how difficult it is at Huddersfield and Sheffield Wednesday, you know, it's a bit of a. There's some real worries down there in Devon by the sound of it, and you know, it's a huge thing. Championship football down there. Plymouth have been fighting for that for so long, haven't they? Mm. You know, 10 plus years they've been close, they've got to the playoffs, or they've just missed out on the playoffs. So that's a huge thing for them, sort of keeping the status at this level, which that's why it surprises me so much that they haven't just gone to Warnock. Here you go, six games, you know, work your magic, get everyone, you know, behind us. So a good thing in that respect, I think, for Sheffield Wednesday and Huddersfield, because I think, you know, knowing Warnock as me and Stuart do, he'd have liked nothing better to probably save Plymouth, certainly relegate Sheffield Wednesday, and given what happened at Huddersfield, there'll be a little bit of Schadenfreude in him as well there, but thankfully he's not there. But yeah, I just think things will twist and turn potentially, but you know, I think for the sake of Huddersfield and Sheffield Wednesday, you know, they could really do with a victory, couldn't they, on Saturday? I think Huddersfield, what are they six without a win? And Brighton Wright has not won at home. He's not won in, I think, four at home. So yeah, I think he needs it as much as anything. He needs the fans to buy into that and say, look, I've got a home win. And you know, and as well as, you know, I mentioned with Millwall, Huddersfield, if they both can win, they drag those two teams back in, and then there's a few more. Then you get to the, if you get to the last day and there's three or four teams in it, you know, God knows what will happen.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the other thing about this time of year is your perception of a result changes from week to week. I mean, I was being doom and gloom earlier about Huddersfield only drawing to Stoke. Well, you look at it from a Stoke perspective, they're 5 points clear. If they'd have won that game, as they ought to have done, You know, they're in the clear. Now, all of a sudden, I think they've scored 15 goals in 20 home games. That's not great. No. We have these crazy games sometimes. They've got to go to Hillsborough in a couple of weeks. Mm. You know, they're another team who you thought were just getting out of it, but actually aren't out of it yet. So it's gonna change on a week-to-week basis, and probably our emotions with it as to whether we think, you know, it's doom and gloom or happy days for those teams.
Well, in Blackburn as well, Stuart. I mean, they got they got a brilliant winner for their sake to Sunderland. But if they've got to sit there and go, oof, you know, that's it. You know, look at their games. They've got, you know, the Leeders, the Southamptons, Ipswiches, Coventry. So you just, for our two Yorkshire teams, you know, we've unfortunately got to forget about Rotherham. They've gone. You just hope there's a few twists and they can just get a few. Keep it as it was before Easter, where there's, you know, five or six teams into it. That's what they really need to do. And you know, this week's going to be, this 3-game week's going to be probably big in that regard, isn't it?
Yeah. And Doncaster Rovers is where our attention turns to next, who played out a 1-0 victory when they welcomed Wrexham to the EcoPower Stadium. This sees Grant McCann's side continue their fine form and stretch their winning run to 5 in a row. Now, with his side just 7 points off the playoff spots, how proud can Grant McCann be of his team's performances, Stuart?
Massively proud. I mean, they only beat Wrexham 1-0 the other day, but they were absolutely terrific. And, you know, there's not many teams pick up 6 points over Easter. They went to Crawley, who are another really good team in League Two terms, and won there as well. It was a really good weekend for them. You know, they played some, I was at that Wrexham match, they played some really good stuff in it. You know, there were good performances all throughout the team. They should have won by more than 1-0, but that said, Timothy Lotualu pulled off a brilliant, absolutely brilliant save in the 7th added minute to stop them to stop them dropping points. So yeah, you know, we've been going on year after year about Doncaster Rovers season's really nosediving. Yeah. It's really encouraging to see them going the other way. I mean, 7 points to make up with 6 games to play in terms of the playoffs, it feels a bit too much. It feels as though that head start they've given everyone is going to cost them. Mm. But there's something building there, and it's not just results. You know, we've seen, I think, 4 new contracts in the last week. There were, over 8,000 Doncaster fans at the game, you know, the Wrexham game, 2,000 Wrexham fans. And there's positivity building. There's something to build on. I mean, we've talked this season. Grant McCann's set them the challenge of, right, the league starts now, he said, when the transfer window shuts. Let's see how you can do. They're top of that league. Yep. You know, that's some going when you think about how clubs like Mansfield and Stockport and Wrexham have been doing. And they've got games in hand in that league as well. So they're doing really well. There's a real positive. I remember being there just before Christmas, and frankly, it was miserable when they beat Bradford. I remember saying on this podcast, it just felt like everything was going wrong, and they just couldn't break out of this cycle. Now it feels really positive, and it's just about keeping that going and enjoying it. And where it takes them, who knows? But I'm certain it will serve them well next season, whatever division they're in.
Yeah, I think it's great to see what's happening, and much needed as well. I mean, they've had the previous three final thirds of the last three seasons. They've just been awful. I remember I did a game, it was about this time last year, they played at home to Northampton. It was just a club going nowhere. There was so much apathy, and it was the final throws of the Danny Schofield regime. And, you know, I did feel sorry for what happened to Danny eventually, but it just looked a club who totally lost the mojo. You know, and there were some supporters probably entitled to think, God, if this carries on next season, we could be a lengthy, sustained relegation fight. And, you know, it's been a bit of a crazy year in League Two, hasn't it? And even a few months ago with Doncaster, they were looking over the shoulders. And then, you're sort of citing big moments in the season. I mean, they got hammered by Stockport at Sutton, and they scored, was it in the third minute of stoppage time or something with a penalty, and it just seems to have proved the catalyst for them to kick on. But yeah, this is great to see, given the recent history of seasons alarmingly falling away, and Yeah, we spoke about Middlesbrough having a bit of fun, and it's, you know, it's the same as Doncaster. You know, Stuart's right about that league table. You know, you look at all the form guides, the 10 match form guide, the 12 match one. They're at the top, aren't they? And they're beating some big clubs there. You know, the Mansfields and Wrexhams. And yeah, it's a very, very slim chance that they've got of the top seven. But that last spot's going to be open for somebody, isn't it? Potentially. Yeah. You know, Crawley are on, what is it, 62 points. And I think the good thing, probably in that regard for Doncaster, is I had a little look beforehand at some of the games, and they've got a few teams around them, which I think it's good. If you're gonna talk about players, what they've got Gillingham away, they've got Walsall, they've got Morecambe, who are up there as well. So if you look at it, they've got 55 points. They're probably going to need, I don't know, you'd probably say 70, wouldn't you? I don't think it's going to be massively high to get that last spot. So maybe 15 points. They're probably going to have to win 5 out of 6, maybe at least. But yeah, if they can win it, the next game is it? Is it Morecambe away? Yeah. If they can go there and win that, stay up there as well, Morecambe.
Yeah.
So they've got 3 points themselves, and they've stopped one of the teams who were sniffing around there getting a win as well. So, you know, you never know, but there will be. There's this. He does speak about it a lot, Grant McCann, game by game, but it really does apply in the case that Doncaster are in at the minute. But yeah, let's just be pleased that they're having some fun.
Yeah, I mean, it's essential that they've got teams around them, really.
Yeah,
it's not just the points. They've got 6 teams to clamber over, so they need to be stopping those teams. But, you know, as Liam says, they've got a slim chance. We'd rather have a slim chance than no chance. It's a lot more fun than being a place above the relegation zone, as they were.
Oh, man, it's not impossible, given that the form
exactly.
is on, but they just can't, you know, they can't afford to drop to, you know, it's wins, really, isn't it, at the minute? Yeah. I suppose they've got, is it 5 in a row now, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Again, it's just no time for complacency at all at this stage. And finally,
they've just got to enjoy the ride, haven't they? That's what they've got to do.
Yeah, exactly. And finally, for this week, I turn to Leon for his player of the week before looking to Stuart for his team of the week. So, Leon, who has grabbed your attention this week?
Well, I've sort of jotted a few names down. Bobby Poynton, obviously, all the Bradford fans were clambering for him. He's you know, local lad. When a team's in a bit of bother, I think it's often quite a canny thing for a manager to bring in, you know, one of the local lads. And he's a teenage lad, Bradford City fan. He scored a great goal, didn't he, against Tranmere on Good Friday. So a decent Easter for City, and you know, much needed given what, you know, the problems they've had there in recent times. So he's put his hand up. One or two others as well. I mean, go to Middlesbrough, they're in a nice vein of form. Spoken about Johnny Howson and his Barese impression. It just shows what a great, great footballer and character he is. You know, we'll all miss him when he does retire. Hopefully not for a few years yet. You know, he's shown his adaptability in playing at centre half at Southampton on Friday, which, you know, they're one of the best attacking sides in the division. You know, only one fit centre half, and you know, Johnny's slotted in there. Isaiah Jones as well. He's got a bit of his mojo back. Dan Balassa. You got to mention a few Rotherham players. God, you know, the run they've been on, it's been absolutely, you know, desperate, and the good professionals there must have been really, really hurting. So it was so pleasing for everyone connected there that they, you know, managed to end this desperate streak, and you know, all the embarrassment on social media, people having a pop. You know, young Ravan who got the winner as well. Was he a lone player? It's probably his first loan, and it must have been really tough for the lad. But you know, a rare sort of a big positive moment, and something for him to remember as his career goes forward. But I think the one name that probably I will say somebody else that we myself and Stuart will know a bit about is Richard Wood. We mentioned Doncaster, and you know, it was a big miss for a fair chunk of the season. You know, his return has coincided with a bit of an upturn at Doncaster with his organisation, leadership, and spirit. And you know, it's great to see Woody back at the day job doing what he does well. And you know, he's been rewarded with another contract. And what is he now, 37, 38? So he's got a good chance, hope, of reaching, you know, like James Coppinger playing when he's 40. So I think all things considered, and what's going on at Doncaster, I probably will pick Richard Wood.
Yeah, classic Richard Wood on the Tuesday, heading everything away from the box.
Yeah.
You know, defending brilliantly against the likes of Pummel, and he had a great volley on the turn, and then leaving the game in the 96th minute, refusing a stretcher with a massive gash across his head, the biggest gash Grant McCann said he's ever seen. It was just classic Richard Wood from start to finish, really. Just such a top professional, and just good to see him going. He'd probably, as Leon says, he'd probably be going as long as Baresi at this rate. Not quite the same level, but still pretty good. In terms of the team, apologies to Doncaster Rovers fans. I'm not going to pick your team, despite how brilliant they've been, as I've just said. Rotherham, as Leon's already alluded to, you know, everything we said about Sheffield United spirit, you can times that by two, really, for Rotherham beating Millwall on the day they were supposed to go down. And, you know, they could even have gone down winning. I think we're all expecting that. But I'm going to go for Harrogate Town. I mean, it sounded like they let one get away at Wimbledon on Good Friday, failing to beat them after Wimbledon were down to 10 men for a good chunk. But to beat Gillingham 5-1 on Easter Monday, not just good for them, good for Doncaster as well, with what we've been saying about trying to reel them in. But that's taken them to 58 points, which is the most they've ever had in the Football League. Just, you know, a really positive story of just steady progress, realism, and just, you know, using the most of what you've got at Harrogate Town. So, you know, we've praised them a few times on the podcast, particularly in the last few months, but I think it's another week to do that.
YorkshirePost.co.uk.
Many thanks to Stuart Rayner and Leon Wobrell, who will doubtless join us again soon for more discussions on the Yorkshire football scene. But don't forget, you can keep up to date with all the football news across Yorkshire and beyond by logging on to our website at yp.sport@nationalworld.com, or if you search for Yorkshire Post Sport, Yorkshire Post Football, or even Sheffield Sport on Facebook, you can find us there as well. If you have any questions for our writers, you can get in touch using those various Twitter or Facebook pages, or email us directly with the subject matter as footballtalkpodcast@yp.sport@nationalworld.com. As ever, many thanks for listening. Look after yourselves, and bye for now.